This is a production of the Z-Talk Radio Network. The views expressed and opinions given by the individual hosts and their guests do not necessarily reflect those of Z-Talk Radio, its affiliates, or sponsors.
It's one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind.
Tear down this wall.
Broadcasting live from Z-Talk Studios in beautiful downtown Virginia, Minnesota. It's Z-Talk Live with your hosts, Joel Sturgis and Scotty Rourke.
Ooh, another week is in the books there, Scotty. Or actually, another week is just beginning there, Scotty. I don't know
just
what I'm talking about.
Man,
I was thinking of the NFL yet. For some reason, you know, last... last week and all, you know, all excited, you know, both the Pack and the Vikings win, but we'll save that for sports.
Sports, yep.
Yeah, even though I want to talk about it right now, because there's lots of good stuff going on, you know. But how was your week? How is your weekend, I should say? I'm all stuck in a time. I was building a website all weekend, and that would be airstrikeonline.com, building that all friggin' weekend.
My week wasn't that great.
It's beautiful, though. My website's
I hurt my New Year's Eve. I fell at work and hurt my
back. That's
what
you said. Your pack?
Yeah, I heard it. I fell right straight down. It was kind of funny. You watched a video of it. All you see is my head behind these boxes.
Dude, that...
Then all of a sudden, you don't see my head.
That just sounds horrible.
Yeah, it wasn't the greatest, and my back is just killing me. So I'm sitting here for all these hours. We'll see how it does tonight.
Well, you'll definitely know by tomorrow morning how this will pan out for you.
Ooh, doggy, not too good.
No? Yeah, you can feel a little sorer, if that's even a word, sorer than normal.
Yeah, sorest.
Sorrier. I'm sorrier. Oh,
sorrier,
man, yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah.
I'm very sorry.
The
Boise State TCU just scored 10-10 in the Fiesta, Tostitas Fiesta Bowl.
You know, the problem is everybody gets a bowl game.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of people do, but these two deserve it. These two are some good teams.
But am I the only one that thinks that everyone gets a bowl game, though?
Yeah, well, see, the major ones are not on New Year's anymore or after New Year's, so you can watch them all week. So I think that's cool. I like that.
But. Oh, yeah. No, it's all good. It's just like, why don't they have playoffs? Oh, you know what? We're talking sports again, Scotty. You got to stop, man.
What do you want to talk about? Ghosts?
Yeah.
No, we got a great guest on tonight. We have Patrick Burns on with us tonight, and we will be talking spooky ghosts with him.
Again.
I don't mind. I haven't talked ghosts in a while, though, really.
Really? Yeah. Well, you know.
Tonight on the other show, I got into this whole tangent about global warming.
Did you really? It's all fake.
The fact is, it's bull.
Absolutely, it's BS. It's absolutely BS. I mean, come on.
What's the funniest part that I was talking about, and I thought was the most hilarious part, is that they moved on. They moved on from global warming now because, hey, you know, you just can't. It's falling apart for them, and then all of a sudden, they moved on to now the oxygen is low.
Dude, it's going to be 35 below where I'm at tonight. You tell me all about global warming.
I told you. I know. Canada.
I know. It's Canada, eh? It's cold, Arctic Canada. Oh, Canada. I love Canada, though. They're great people. They're fun.
Oh, yeah. I don't mind it. I never did it, but it's like you sit there and you're like wondering what the heck is going on. You know, it is so cold. I mean, and the swath of cold is not just in Wisconsin and Minnesota where you live. I mean, it is across the whole world. I mean, even in Florida 40s, you know, during the game. I mean, it's all over the place. It's just crazy. You know what I mean? It's just not.
Yeah.
Warm.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to go ahead and
My whole point was why would they say global warming when it's not warm?
Exactly. It's no warming's going on. 35 below up here in Minnesota. I'm freezing my ever-loving ass off. But everybody go check out www.airstrikeonline.com. Tell me how I did on the website. I just built this thing. Never built one before there, Scotty.
No?
Never. Not once. No one.
Well, then you did a nice job.
Yeah, it doesn't look too bad, does it? So I threw that up in the chat room. And we're also broadcasting over there tonight. We're trying out the servers. We even have dial-up server there. So all the people that are in low bandwidth can check that out as well without any issues. So if you got the dial-up, you can still hit play and still hear our, well, I don't want to call them lovely voices, but our voices nonetheless. Right there, Scott?
No, our voices are lovely.
Oh, yeah. But what do you say with that note, let's go to a truly lovely voice, and that's Tammy's.
All right.
You're listening to Z-Talk Live Radio News, and this is Tammy Henderson with your news updates. And good evening on this Monday, January the 4th of 2010. This is your Z-Talk Live news update with the good news, the bad news, and the really weird news. A new year, here we go into 2010. And what will you resolve to change for this new year? I resolve to be more active and be more financially savvy. One way to help you keep your New Year's resolutions could be by using an application, especially for those who always have their iPhone or iPod Touch at hand. So yes, there is an app for that. You can pick up these applications to help you get your New Year in order at www.commando.com. So iPhone, iPod junkies, have at it. Now, for those of you who are just stuck and uncertain about how to make that New Year's resolution, much less try to keep it, help yourself out by going to www.ehow.com and type in the search engine, how to make a New Year's resolution. Tradition does dictate that every 365 days you should try to kick bad habits and start your life anew. So sit down with a cup of coffee, a paper, a pen, and do some reflection. What kinds of resolutions will you make for yourself this year? eHow.com recommends 7 steps to making and keeping your New Year's resolution. Step number 1, start with the principle that one and only resolution at a time is required. Take the one thing that is most critical to your health and well-being and tackle it first. Step number 2, break the change into small, manageable steps. Use a graph, a chart, or visual manifestation of your goal or goals. Be realistic with the goals that you choose. Step number 3, visualize the end result to your resolution. There is no big secret relative to the attraction theory that you can achieve what you want by focusing on it. Visualizing the goal and helping to motivate your actions to achieve the goal. Another way to help achieve your desired goal or goals is to think about it all the time. You could use motivational audio tapes, example. Say, I will achieve my goal. Step number 4, tell others what your goals are and ask for their help in achieving your goal. Step number 5, if you start playing a negative thought or message in your head, shut it down, throw it out with the trash, and replace those thoughts with positive thoughts or your desired goal. Step number 6, if you do have a moment of weakness and slip up a bit, that's okay, you're a human being, and you can start again. Forgive yourself and start again the next day. Resolve to work twice as hard on your goal, strengthening your resolve even more. Step number 7, have faith in yourself. Remember, you can do anything if you set your mind to that goal. It is never too late to become what you might have wanted to do in the past. For 2010, resolve that old excuses have expired, and this will be different this year, and you can have a plan that really works for you. For movie lovers, I'll be giving the scoop on a couple of movies in the news here on Z-Talk Live. As an added news feature, some may be old or new movies, but fun and interesting and worthy of watching and mentioning. The first movie, as a must-watch for fun and humor, Confessions of a Shopaholic. That's right, Confessions of a Shopaholic. With dreams of writing for a top fashion magazine, shopping addict Rebecca begins working for a financial magazine who owns the fashion magazine she would prefer working for. But as her career skyrockets, Rebecca struggles to pay off overwhelming bills and manage her love life. John Cusack, John Goodman, and Kristen Ritter co-star in this glittery movie based on the best-selling book series, Shopaholic Books by Sophia Kinsella. The genre of this movie is romantic comedy and a drama based on a best-selling book, and the movie is considered a goofy, feel-good romance. The movie is available on DVD, Blu-ray, and I give it 4 stars as well as many other people. It's also rated PG, and it's from the year 2009. Another movie you might want to check out is Across the Universe from 2007. Rated as a 4-star movie and available also at Netflix.com on DVD, Blu-ray, and streaming. The genre of the movie is contemporary movie musicals, classic rock, and it is a romantic, mind-bending, and imaginative movie. And Across the Universe, an American girl and a British lad fall in love amid social and political upheaval in the 1960s. This is a movie musical from director Julie Taymor. Across the Universe features classic Beatles songs and a mix of live action animation, and is an excursion to America. Liverpool dock worker Jude falls for Lucy, but when Lucy's brother is drafted, Jude and Lucy take a stand as anti-war activists. So check out the movie Across the Universe and Confessions of a Shopaholic, both movies worth watching. Next up on cable TV, could it be higher bill for consumers? Time Warner Cable, Fox, and CBS wrangle on fees and continued negotiations as everyone wants a piece of the pie. Watch list grows as extra airline screening begins. Dozens more are being added to the government's terror watch list of suspects and no-fly list after a failed terrorist attack on Christmas prompted U.S. officials to closely scrutinize a large database of suspected terrorists. People on the watch list get additional checking before they are allowed to enter this country. Those on the no-fly list are barred from boarding aircraft in or headed for the United States. The Simpsons will be marking their 450th episode, wow, with a special coming up on Sunday. So if you're a Simpsons fan, you might want to stay tuned for this coming special. The Simpsons began 20 years ago as a fluke and erupted into a now pop culture that continues on. Well, actor Matthew McConaughey and his girlfriend have announced the birth of their second child, a baby girl. The actor says on his website that Vita Alves McConaughey was born Sunday and weighs 7 pounds and 7 ounces. The couple also had a son, Levi, in 2008. Well, winter system continues to drop record snow and chills for the South and Midwest. A bitter chill has settled in across the eastern half of the country, threatening crops, closing schools. Record snows reported in Vermont, and farmers in Florida have scrambled to save strawberries and tomato plants. The deep freeze will last for at least the rest of the week. The National Weather Service said the mercury could fall below zero in St. Louis. That is all for your Z-Talk Live Radio News. This is Tammy Henderson. Have a wonderful week and good luck on making your New Year's resolutions.
But yeah, it was a great holiday, good New Year's. We had a lot of fun. We went to U.S. Bank here in Wisconsin, had a big thing here in Madison. Yeah, we went to. They had all the museums open. They had jugglers, musicians, bands down at the Manoa Terrace here in Madison. It was a good night. We had a pretty much fun time.
Good. I'm glad you had a good time, man. I am really glad that you had a good time. Because, you know, that's what it's all about. Spending time with family, having a good time, crap like that, you know. I worked pretty much on a website. Yes, it was fun, but now I'm leaving. You know, I like your kids, but not that much.
Yeah, I can't stand you that much. I gotta get out of here.
Yeah. Well, you know.
You know, don't you get that with your family after once in a while? You're just like, oh, what the heck is going on?
Once in a while, I get a little like, you know what? I just need some time alone.
Yeah, I just need it, man. Just need the time alone.
You know, just need it. You know. So, but no.
You know, I mean, you just want to jump off and go. No, please, God. No
kids, leave me alone. Just go away. Let me just.
I love everybody, but once in a while, even here, you know, you just need like. You know, being in retail, I spend most of my time all day talking to people, working with people, and when I get home, I don't want to.
No? You really don't want to?
I don't want to talk to nobody.
No. Well, it's because you've been dealing with dumbasses all day.
Truth be known. Freaking day.
Come on.
I mean, yesterday Bob Davis from Planet Paranormal puts on his Facebook page that he wants Christmas more than once a year, and I was like, dude, I'd be a serial killer by the end of that.
You'd kill yourself.
I'd just be like, I would kill somebody. Mm-hmm. I came close.
You did?
I came close.
I heard. I heard something about that you're beating down some little kid.
No, not little kids.
No?
Adults.
Oh, well, see,
the kids are okay.
The little kids are better. Fine. Little kids are easier targets. You know, I mean, they don't fight back
I'll
as much.
I'll take an adult, though, because I'm a big guy. I can take it.
Well, on that note, man, let's skedaddle the break, man. We'll be right back after this. This is your guest, Patrick Burns.
You're listening to Z-Talk Radio Network.
Did I kill my husband? As the only woman in Illinois to be hung for murder, local lore has tarred me as a bad, bad woman. But there's more to the story. Find out in The Hanging of Betsy Reed by Rick Kelsheimer. I was a healer. They called me a witch and said that I poisoned the old man. 20,000 people came to see me die. I did burn down the jail and didn't even stay buried for long. But did I kill him? Rick Kelsheimer tells my story as fairly as I have ever seen it. Read The Hanging of Betsy Reed. Available at Amazon.com.
I'm Peyton Manning. Did you know that the Red Cross responds to more than 67,000 house and apartment fires every year? They show us how to prepare for emergencies from hurricanes to heart attacks. They respond immediately when lives are disrupted by natural disasters. They teach us to swim and to save lives. Red Cross volunteers and employees are committed to making our communities safer and healthier.
Call 1-800-HELP-NOW or visit redcross.org to learn more.
Hi, this is Joel Sturgis, General Manager of Z-Talk Radio. You may know me better from talk radio shows such as Airstrike Radio, Haunted Voices Radio, and Z-Talk Live. I have a question for you. Have you ever listened to talk radio and said, hey, I can do a better job than those hosts? Or have you ever wanted to learn how to be an online broadcaster? Internet radio is quickly becoming the wave of the future for both amateurs and professional radio hosts alike. Now here's your chance to learn how to be a radio host. Todd Bates, owner of Haunted Voices Radio, and myself will teach you all that is necessary to pursue your radio dreams. Here is just a few things you'll learn at the world's first online broadcasting training course. The art of the interview. How to run your online broadcasting equipment. How to successfully book guests, and much, much more. So if you're interested in the world of online broadcasting, call 218-305-4676. That's right, 218-305-4676. Or email Joel at ztalkradio.com. And if you already have an online show, we offer interview coaching as well. Come start your online broadcasting career with us today.
You're listening to Z-Talk Radio Network.
I am living on Channel Z!
And And we are back with our absolutely awesome guest, Patrick Bernstein. Patrick is better known, really, really a lot of you know him from TV, from the hit series Haunting Evidence. Am I correct on that one? I don't want to butcher the show name. It's been just one of those names.
No, you got it right.
Good, because right. I was talking to
No, you.
Yeah. Yeah, I was talking.
You got it right.
I was talking.
A lot of people call it haunted evidence.
Correct. That's where I wanted to go with it. I want to say haunt. Yeah, that's exactly what I want to do. Anyhow, we are back with Patrick Burns. He is really, like I was getting back to what I was saying, better known. A lot of you guys know him from the TV show, but, you know, he has another side about him that not a lot of people see, and he's really kind of a cut up, aren't you, Patrick?
Wow. You know, I've been called many things, and cut up is one of them, definitely. But it depends on in what context you're referring to me being a cut up.
Well, you know, on the TV show, you kind of played, I don't want to say a serious figure, but, you know, you're kind of the skeptical one of the group.
Yeah. It's, you know, and that is really something that a lot of people really do bring up to me. Anybody that knows me knows that I'm really not that serious. I definitely had to put my serious face on for the TV show because, of course, we were dealing with a very, very sensitive subject.
And you're getting paid to be. And you're getting paid to do that. You're getting paid to be serious, man. It's just like radio. When they tell you to be something, totally. You gotta be it. You got no choice. It's entertainment medium.
Well, it's not even so much that I was being paid to. You've got to be respectful to the families that are looking for answers in these horrible times. I mean, these are real life horror stories that you know, really happened. You know, forget about Scream and Saw and Blade and all these horror flicks that are out there. I mean, these are real life crimes, horrible things that happened to people that were, you know, people's sons and daughters and husbands and wives. And you know, you don't want to be making a mockery out of, you know, what had happened to these people. You don't want to joke around or be, you know, cutting jokes. I mean, very, very serious subject matter. And you know, when the cameras were rolling, certainly you know, that element, that aspect had to come across on the show. And
right, I mean, because, you know, most of the stuff
was not,
the stuff you did
definitely was not a feel-good type show at all, you know, very serious crimes, and we were certainly at least trying to you know, help law enforcement and get answers for these families.
So not exactly.
You know, I was saying it was the fact that, you know, the problem was a lot of it was very soon after. I mean, you guys were doing stuff that, you know, like the Natalie Holloway, you know, and that type of stuff. It was right after, you know, the situations. I mean, it was not too long after, and you guys were there trying to help.
Yeah, right after. Well, Natalie had been missing for about 2 or 3 years by the time we landed in Aruba. So it wasn't really in the news as much as it had been maybe a year or two prior to that. But yeah, definitely still very much a fresh cold case. You know, and certainly there's a lingering possibility, however slim, I believe, that, you know, she might be found alive at some place. But I think everybody, including her mother, Beth Twitty, has pretty much given up hope that she's ever going to be, you know, found. But we worked several cases that were much older than that. We worked the Zodiac cases from the late 1960s and early 70s. And the oldest cold case that we profiled was the Villisca Axe murders from 1912 in Villisca, Iowa. You know, that case we were able to have, I guess, a little bit more, play up the haunted element a little bit more of the haunted house, of the axe murder house, because 1912, okay, nobody from that family, no direct descendants of the Moore family are obviously going to be alive. No law enforcement, nobody connected immediately with that case is still going to be around. They've all passed on, you know, a long, long time ago. So, you know, while we still were able to be, you know, respectful, we were able to have a little bit more quote-unquote fun with the episode and play up the aspect of it being a haunted house, being a known haunted location with a cold case attached to it.
Right. You know, like, unfortunately, I mean, like, we're ghost hunters and stuff like that. Most of the, you know, they do ships and stuff like that, and the people are not there anymore, you know what I mean? And I understand that, but when I was talking about, you know, just like 9/11, it's still too soon to make jokes about, you know what I mean?
Sure.
There's still a time limit which you guys had to deal with, which made it very difficult, you know, that I thought, for you guys, because you had to be really careful with the subject, because a lot of people knew about these cases and still were very fresh in people's minds.
Well, not only that, Scotty, but in many instances, the family members were standing right behind the camera operators watching us film.
Really?
And they were right there within immediate earshot of everything that we said and did. So we had to be mindful and respectful, for that, from that perspective as well. And that definitely, did present its own share of, really, really having to be careful about what you say, because, you know, you say something inappropriate, if nobody's around, it could always be dropped out in the editing room or edited out. Mm-hmm. But obviously you can't do that if somebody's standing right behind you watching every minute of what's being filmed. So,
right.
There was definitely times when, it was, you're under immediate pressure because literally the family members were standing right over your shoulder, watching what we were doing. And, we of course, had to, exercise extra special caution at what we might, say and do during those instances.
Very, very cool. Now I know you just finished your book.
Yep. The Other Side, A Teen's Guide to Ghost Hunting and the Paranormal, was released by Houghton Mifflin Harcourt this past September, and people can find that by going to Amazon.com or BarnesandNoble.com, any of the major booksellers online. I think I've even seen a couple of autographed copies up for sale on eBay. So.
Autographed copies are good.
So how's it going? I mean, is the book sales good so far?
I'm sorry?
I said,
book sales have been good. They have been good. This is, I think, something, a book like that is sort of a perennial flower, one that blooms every year. And I think, we'll... Our sales will pick up every year around Halloween, just like traffic on our website pick up every year around Halloween, because John Q. Public is interested in ghosts and ghost hunting around Halloween. It's one of those books, I think, that's, it's going to be around for a long time and probably in many, many reprints and, hopefully translations. Hopefully it'll continue to have very strong sales for the years to come.
Kind of stand the test of time, as it were.
Yes, absolutely.
You know, those are the true classics that are able to do that. Stand the test of time. So we will see.
Well,
Patrick.
I don't know if I classify our book as a true classic, but definitely is topical content that has to do with a specific time of year. If you want to call it a true classic,
sure, why not?
I'm not going to.
It's a classic in the making.
So in the reprint, you can put Joel's name on the title.
There you
true
go.
Classic. There
yep,
you go.
Yep. Right up there in the same vein as Citizen Kane and.
oh, there you go.
Right.
The works of Ernest Hemingway and Shakespeare is The Other Side, A Teen's Guide to Ghost Hunting and the Paranormal.
So what made you guys write that book and that type of book?
Well, my girlfriend, Marla Gibson, is a young adult author, and she has written a fictional series called The Ghost Huntress,
right.
Which is about a fictional story about a teenage girl from Chicago who moves to rural Georgia and has a psychic awakening, as you will, and realizes that she has these abilities she doesn't understand, and is mentored by a local psychic in town and forms a ragtag ghost hunting team in this small town. And the books deal with the trials and tribulations that her team deals with, and, you know, controversy that comes up in a small town of what they're doing in the, you know, small town in the Bible Belt. And she and her agent thought that it would be an interesting idea to have kind of a nonfiction companion to go along with the Ghost Hunter series, because obviously a lot of teens are going to read this book and think, oh, wow, that sounds so cool. You know, I want to go out and try and do this for myself. Well, unfortunately, there's a lot of ghost hunters out there whose only real research that they've done on ghost hunting happens to be the fact that they own DVDs from all five seasons of Ghost Hunters. You know, they haven't really done any reading. And, you know, not to knock anyone as a paranormal person who's been on a television show myself, I'm going to say it right now. Television shows are probably not the best training mechanisms for people wanting to get started in this. There's a lot more to it than what you see in a 60-minute episode of Ghost Hunters or Paranormal State or even Haunting Evidence.
We really
wanted to get teens started off on the right foot and tell them why it's not cool to, you know, vandalize cemeteries. Number one, it's illegal. Number two, it's very disrespectful. You know, why even though that cool abandoned building down the street may very well be haunted, why you want to stay out of it, because condemned buildings are very often structurally unsound and pose far more dangers than any spiritual attachment, quote-unquote, somebody might pick up in one of these locations. So we really wanted to teach the next generation of ghost hunters how to get started and do it from a responsible point of view and a skeptical point of view. We do take a very cautionary, skeptical tone throughout the book, and you know, it's something that I'm very proud of. Dave Schrader, one of my co-authors on the book, is a parent, as am I, and we definitely both agreed that we wanted to write a book that we would not be ashamed of having our own children read, because obviously at some point in the future that's going to happen for us. So all in all, very, very pleased with the book. And, you know, it's not just for teens. There's a wealth of information in there, I think, that is good for anybody starting out in this field, even somebody who, you know, is an adult or even a seasoned veteran. We touch on a lot of topics in there that make for good refresher material.
You know, when I had Marley on my other show, I asked to be in the book, and I didn't get in. And now that you're on here, and now you two are dating, dude, when am I going to get in the book? You got to have one Marley character. You got to have one character, some Marley, other strange friend.
Scotty Rourke wants to know when he is going to be in the book, when he is going to appear as a character in one of your books.
How about book five?
She just said, how about book five?
That sounds great. Just one little appearance, I can get killed off and become a ghost or whatever you need me, but hey, that's fine. Just to show up.
Well, there you go.
She said you can kill him off and make him a ghost. She said, okay.
That's fun.
It's always fun.
Oh.
Yeah. Marley's done that for a number of people. She's made people into characters for the books, or, you know, at least put their name into the book, and, you know, people are really getting a kick out of that. And,
oh, yeah, that's so fun. And,
yeah.
That is fun. Go ahead.
I was just going to say she's a very good writer. I generally don't read a lot of fiction, and she's really got a book here. It's been compared by a lot of people to Ghost Whisperer meets Nancy Drew. Is sort of the way you might describe these stories. And very proud to say she just recently sold film rights to the Ghost Huntress. So you may be seeing this on the silver screen or the small screen in the not-so-distant future as
a
feature film. Yeah.
That'd be really cool. I mean, it's a great series. It's a lot of fun. So make sure you're reading it, everyone. Go ahead and buy the books.
Definitely.
We're all about shameless plugs, Patrick, as if you haven't figured that out.
That's what it's all about, man.
Shameless plugs. Hey, Joel, don't we got to get to a break here?
Yeah, absolutely. We'll be right back with more Patrick Burns right after this.
Station identification.
You're listening to ZTalk Radio Network.
Operating frequency
on ztalkradio.com.
Are you ready for some rollicking adventure? In Scotty Roberts' book, The Rollicking Adventures of Tam O'Hare, join Irish Rabbit, Tam O'Hare, and his young squirrel squire, Horatio McNutt, as they journey through Scotland of the mid-1500s seeking a small child who's been stolen by the fairy folk. Crafty raccoon pirates, conniving noble wolves, conflicted royal foxes, and self-serving religious badgers all stand in the way as their quest brings them headlong into high seas action and supernatural intrigue. The Rollicking Adventures of Tam O'Hare is in bookstores everywhere and at barnesandnoble.com. This hardcover, lushly illustrated chapter book is the first book in the Tam O'Hare series. But hang on to your sabers. Book 2, Tam O'Hare and the Banshee of Ballyglenmorrow, is coming later this year. So swash your buckle and prepare yourself for a historically rollicking, swaggeringly supernatural adventure. Visit tamohare.com to learn more. You'll never trust a raccoon with a sword again.
Hi, I'm Paulette Carlson. Do you really know what your child is doing right now? Caring parents just like you of 15,000 children who died of drug abuse and violence in the last 6 months thought they knew too. Working hand-in-hand with Vietnam Veterans of America, Veterans Against Drugs, through their Commitment to Life program, wants to put an end to drug abuse, violence, and the fear you have for your child's future. Please help me and other caring parents by visiting the Veterans Against Drugs website at vva.org.
There's a storm brewing in this country. A storm of apathy towards some of our most historic landmarks, like Fort Mifflin in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. This is the fort that saved America. It held the British at bay while George Washington went upriver to Valley Forge. Now it's in danger of being shut down. There are people who are weathering this storm.
This is Barbara Saletti, co-founder of the Fort Mifflin Historic Preservation Group.
This is Anthony Saletti, co-founder of the Fort Mifflin Historic Preservation Group.
But they can't do it alone. They need our help. Go to www.myspace.com/SaveFortMifflin or www.fortmifflin.com. Together, we can make a difference. Let's save Fort Mifflin and turn the tide of apathy.
You're listening to ZTalk Radio Network.
And we are back with our guest, Patrick Burns. Patrick Burns is definitely a busy, busy guy, to say the least. He's doing everything for books, TV, you name it. And he's even got maybe one or two tricks up his sleeve in the way of announcing new things. So, Patrick, you know, what is next for Mr. Burns? Excellent. When you're done. Because I called you Mr. Burns, you see.
Excellent, Smithers.
I'll get it in ahead of time there so I don't forget.
There you go.
I've been advising people for the last couple of years. You know, there's a lot of teams out there that have been trying to pitch their own TV shows. You know, I go to these paranormal conferences, and really, it's in a lot of ways, it's almost like a broken record. You know, it's like, we're working on a pilot. We're working on a pilot. We're working on a pilot. Everybody and their mother is trying to pitch a pilot and have the next Paranormal State or next Ghost Hunters show on TV, which is all fine and dandy. It's great. You know, I admire people's spunk and their ambition, But the harsh reality is the odds are not in your favor to go out and produce a grassroots TV show and have it picked up by a major network. It's just, it's not unheard of. It happens. But it's sort of like being discovered by a record label while you're playing in a club and becoming the next big thing, yeah, you know, next big act out there.
You got Buzz Munch.
Sure, it happens, but lightning doesn't strike very often. So I've been advising people for the past couple of years. I'm like, you know, you might not make a whole lot of money doing it, but there is nothing keeping you off the air, quote unquote. And if you're really that passionate and you really want to broadcast in a visual medium, there is no better time to be a producer than now, because you have these distribution channels via the internet and via DVD that videographers, you know, even a few years ago would have killed for.
Well, we just,
I mean, the possibilities are just absolutely
mind-boggling. You're right.
I mean, for example, I'm sitting here in the chat room on your page, and I'm looking at webcams of you guys broadcasting live. You know, there's Johnny. I mean, that's amazing. Just the distribution channels. So I've told people, you know, instead of gearing in and focusing so much, hi, Scotty, instead of focusing so much on being on TV, produce your own TV show, create your own TV channel, and get out there and start putting stuff out on the web. Nobody can keep you off the air on YouTube, Ustream, what have you. You know, if you want to produce content and put it out there, people will watch.
Well, exactly. We just, another show I do, have you ever heard the movie Truth or Dare? Remember the old 80s movie, Truth or Dare?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I remember
We interviewed Tim Ritter, the maker of that movie, just the other day. And he was saying to me on air that everybody's a filmmaker. Just ask him. I go to a new restaurant, and the waitress says, "Yeah, my son does that." You know, because it's everywhere. It's no longer special to be a filmmaker. You know, to where back in the 80s and 90s,
it really isn't.
You know, everyone's making a movie. He says it's really bad when Grandma's got her handy cam out.
it really isn't special at all anymore. You know, for a couple $100, you can buy a high definition camcorder, and for, you know, a very modest fee, you can have a PC or a laptop that's capable of editing high definition video, and you can put out your own high quality content. It's really the game has really changed considerably in just a few short years, and I've told people, you know, there's nobody keeping you off the air. Don't focus all your efforts on being on TV, you know, because frankly, the cards are not in your favor. They're not stacked in your favor of doing that. Mm-hmm. You're better off producing your own content, putting it out on the web, and waiting to be discovered. You know, if your stuff is really good, it's going to get into the hands of a network executive sooner or later. They're going to come across it, and if they really like what you're doing, they'll sign you. You know, that's the way it works, in my opinion. Don't do this strictly with the intent of making it on TV, because the odds are not in your favor. Do it with the intent of doing it because you love doing it and you want to share this stuff with people. And, you know, ultimately, if it's meant to be, it will happen. So I am getting ready, and Marley has just warned me not to give away too many details yet.
we still want to do our
big announcement. But I am getting ready to put together a very ambitious project for 2010, and we are going to be assembling a show of our own that we're going to stream out onto the web. We're going to create weekly episodes and put them out on the web ourselves. And,
wow, great.
I probably shouldn't give away too much more than that. No, I have not given away too much.
Come on, Marley. It's
already.
It's Z-Talk Radio.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
I don't think I've given away details. I'm going to stream a show, a video, a weekly show out on the web. I haven't said what it's about. but yeah, I will say this, it's going to be something paranormal related, and I think it's the the overwhelming tone of it is it's something that everybody out there we want to participate in. We want to get other teams and other investigators involved, and it's going to be very exciting, I think, for a lot of people, no matter where they are. So we'll be making an announcement here very shortly in the next couple of days about what this big project is. And once it's out there, we'll certainly want to break news, I guess, as well on your network too. So,
But you're right though. Getting back just the video thing really quickly, because you mentioned you got a new project video wise coming up. That's like people getting into radio and expecting to sign a Clear Channel deal.
Oh yeah,
yeah. I mean, it just doesn't happen. Like Paranormal Activity was a fluke. But really, it was.
Exactly.
I mean, it was an absolute fluke. That was right place, right time, right people. You know, otherwise, a movie like that, there's a million of those movies out there, just like that, that never see the light of day.
Totally.
So I got to agree with
you. It really is. It is. You know, it's like, the analogy that I like to use is when I was cast on Haunting Evidence, there wasn't a day, and there still isn't a day, that I don't look at myself in the mirror and think, wow, you know, I'm the luckiest guy in the world. You know, sure, there's a lot of people on TV, but not everybody gets the kind of opportunity that I had.
Mm-hmm.
And I definitely respect that, and I definitely was, you know, empowered by that. But I also reflect back, and I think, you know, that could have been anyone. You know, I just happened to be in the right place at the right time, and at a point in time when paranormal on television was still relatively new. I think Ghost Hunters had only been out for a season or two at that point. Paranormal State hadn't even been pitched as an idea. Ghost Adventures wasn't even on the radar. You know, none of these other shows were really out there. I think there was Ghost Hunters, the Booth Brothers films for Sci-Fi Channel, Haunting Evidence, and you know, a couple of other things, and that was pretty much it. I just happened to be in the right time, and it was very much a stroke of luck for me. You know, the wonderful thing about it is there's nobody keeping you off the air, and the great thing about the web is you have a global audience. You are not just restricted to whoever happens to subscribe to XYZ channel on their cable or satellite network in a particular region. You can have a global outreach and broadcast your programming to people around the world. That is mesmerizingly incredible.
It is.
To have this ability.
It really is, because, I mean, we do that here at Z-Talk Radio. Since Joel and I put this up, you know, we have listeners all around the world. We have them in Latvia. We have them in Germany. We have them in Russia.
You said Latvia. No, never mind. I'm sorry. It's a bad joke. Sorry. I couldn't help myself.
That was a good joke, man.
It was an old one, man. It's an old one. You must be from Latvia.
It really is. If you're a media producer, it is a very, very exciting time to be alive. And, you know, I reiterate what I have said in the past. If you want your own TV show, you want to be on TV, do it. There is nobody stopping you. And you know, people might think initially, well, it's not so cool to be on the web. You know, that's not the same as being on TV. But let me tell you, the line between what is broadcast television, cable television, satellite television, and the internet is blurring more and more every day. I mean, the new high definition TV sets that are coming out now, all you have to do is give it a network connection, and you can stream video off the web right on your TV. You don't even need to plug a computer up to your set-top anymore.
Well, look at Netflix.
So the game is... Exactly. Yep, you can stream Netflix movies right to your TV.
They
right
look
off
beautiful.
The web. The game is changing, my friends. It is changing. And what we know as television, I predict in another 5 to 10 years, everything is going to be streamed off the web.
Well, did you
everything?
They had just added an article on
cable TV. Cable TV will no longer exist. Cable TV will be obsolete. Being phased out, it will become obsolete, and everything is going to be streamed off of IP.
True.
You know, they had that article. They had that article out there that they talked about where they don't believe that broadcast TV will be broadcast TV anymore. They said that
exactly
that free TV, that's going to be a thing of the past.
Yeah, it's
going
to
be, you know, stuff off the net.
Yeah.
Well, you can even watch streaming video on your iPhone, for crying out loud, right now. Mm. I mean, this is how you have the accessibility and the ability to do this on your cell phone. I mean, come on. You don't even have that luxury with satellite or cable TV. You still have to have the dish. You've got to have the cable connection. You know, to be able to pull something up on your phone means, yeah, I mean, it's only a matter of time. Like you just said, Scotty, broadcast TV is not going to be broadcast anymore.
But it's a little Orwellian, isn't it? It's a little Orwellian, isn't it? It's a little Orwellian, like from the novel 1984. You know, because
really
if you're hooked into a network, they know who you are and what you're watching. That's just a little bit of the conspiracy theorist coming out of me just for a second. You know, at least with over-the-air TV, they have no idea what you're watching. Now you get hooked into a network, they know exactly what you're watching, how long you're watching, and what you're doing.
Sure. And, you know, to add to the Orwellian 1984 scenario, of course, now there are, webcams, like we're looking at Scotty right now on his webcam, are very, very common. In fact, I have a laptop that has a built-in webcam on it. How do I know that thing is really turned off, even though I've disabled it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, how do I know that there isn't a back door in there that lets somebody spy on my business if my computer is networked in?
Sure. I mean,
you know, I don't dismiss it for one moment.
It could conceivably happen. Absolutely. You know, like my webcam I have here is as quick as television. You know, it's cruising along at 60 frames a second. You know, really, so I mean, even the webcams have come a long way.
Oh, absolutely. It's, and my boys, I love it. My boys live back in Atlanta with their mother, and at least once a week, I Skype with my boys. I do a video conference with my boys on Skype, and I'll tell you, it's the next best thing to being there with them. I got to sit there and I get to watch them open their presents on Christmas morning. And I sat there with tears streaming down my eyes just thinking, this is incredible how technology is able to bring us together like this and allows us to, you know, just be able to be there in a virtual sense with everyone that we love. It's just, you know, we knew this day when we were kids growing up, we knew this day was coming. When we'd have, video phones and be able to talk to people like this, and it's as cool as we thought it would be, and much more so, I think.
Yeah. Oh yeah. No, it's awesome. It's a great time to be alive. You know, with all the different things that are going on.
And it's just
going
to get better too. I know, but you know, it's especially for the filmmakers out there. You know, people that produce media. Again, you know, for a couple thousand dollars, you can have a high-definition camera and video set up, and you can start making movies. I mean, there is nothing stopping you. The only thing stopping you is yourself.
Yeah, my little Sony Handycam's high-definition. It's kind of funny. Yeah, I could conceivably go make a movie with it. In fact, I think I did.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So, you know, but by the same token, you know, I know that filmmakers from yesteryear, you know, where they were actually having to film movies on actual film. They were actually having to buy raw film stock and make these movies. They were having to make an investment to produce their works.
Oh, it wasn't free, that's for sure. It was a lot of cash.
Exactly. You got to have a budget. Nowadays, you don't have to have a budget. You can do, you know, this guerrilla filmmaking on the fly for literally next to nothing. You know, if you do it the right way, if you do it through the right channels, it doesn't cost you a thing to do it. You know, I know that the old school filmmakers must just really be, you know, they must just
mad
test that.
Man, I had to do all this to get on there.
More of a craft they had to work at.
Well, on that note, guys, we're going to leave on the anger note, you know, about the mad filmmaker right now throwing things at the theater. And we're going to go ahead. We're going to go ahead and play your top of the hour Fox News. So we'll be right back after this.
All the competition, and we'll prove it as soon as we hear any competition.
You're listening to Z-Talk Radio Network.
Hi, this is Joel Sturgis, General Manager of Z-Talk Radio. You may know me better from talk radio shows such as Airstrike Radio, Haunted Voices Radio, and Z-Talk Live. I have a question for you. Have you ever listened to talk radio and said, hey, I can do a better job than those hosts? Or have you ever wanted to learn how to be an online broadcaster? Internet radio is quickly becoming the wave of the future for both amateurs and professional radio hosts alike. Now here's your chance to learn how to be a radio host. Todd Bates, owner of Haunted Voices Radio, and myself will teach you all that is necessary to pursue your radio dreams. Here is just a few things you'll learn at the world's first online broadcasting training course. The art of the interview. How to run your online broadcasting equipment. How to successfully book guests, and much, much more. So if you're interested in the world of online broadcasting, call 218-305-4676. That's right, 218-305-4676. Or email Joel at ztalkradio.com. And if you already have an online show, we offer interview coaching as well. Come start your online broadcasting career with us today.
Fox News Radio, I'm Jane Metzler. Tomorrow, President Obama will outline reforms intended to prevent terror attacks like the failed bombing attempt on a Northwest Airlines jet Christmas Day. More suspected terrorists now being watched.
The Associated Press says officials have added dozens of people listed in that database to Terror Watch no-fly lists. An official speaking on condition of anonymity claims they focused on people from countries with ties to terrorism. Meanwhile, some people traveling to the U.S. from or through Yemen and 13 other countries are now getting extra security screenings, though some European countries say they're still implementing the new rules issued Sunday by the U.S. TSA.
Fox Radio's Chris Barnes, the president back in Washington after his Hawaiian vacation, meeting with his counterterrorism chief and other top officials today. So how are stepped up security measures playing with the flying public?
I've seen worse. Yeah, it's not that bad.
She's at the airport in Austin, Texas. This passenger is saying the changes led to longer lines.
A little bit ridiculous. A little bit. It's a lot longer than expected, but you know, you got to do what you got to do.
Muslim Americans fear it could lead to racial profiling. Security failing to keep an armed man out of the federal building in Las Vegas today.
Law enforcement sources are telling the AP the man who opened fire in the lobby of a federal courthouse may have been mad over losing a lawsuit over his Social Security benefits. He walked into the federal courthouse with a shotgun and opened fire, killing a court security officer and wounding a U.S. Marshal. U.S. Senator John Ensign has an office in the building.
What kind of goes off in somebody's brain to send them over the edge? Like that. There does seem to be a lot of dangerous people in the world today.
After the shooting, the suspect ran into another building, but authorities found him and killed him. Jessica Rosenthal, Fox News Radio.
The LA Times identifying the gunman as 66-year-old Johnny Lee Wicks. You're listening to Fox News Radio, fair and balanced.
Imus in the Morning on Fox Business Network, weekdays at 6 a.m. East.
Please welcome the Imus in the Morning program now, Roseanne Cash. So tell me the story of you're 18 and you get out of high school, and what happened with your dad?
I was on the road with him, and he started talking about songs, and I said, I don't know that song, and then he mentioned another, and I said, I don't know that one, and he grew kind of alarmed, and he spent the rest of the afternoon making a list for me. Then at the end of the day, he wrote across the top 100 essential country songs.
Must have. So such a great story.
And then on the road with him, I decided I wanted to be a songwriter. So he kind of gave me the list at the perfect moment.
Did he seem like Johnny Cash like he did to us?
Well, I mean, he's Dad. Johnny Cash didn't give me the list. Dad gave me the list.
Oh, okay.
You know, people say, well, how was it having him as a dad? I say, compared to what? My other life when my dad was an insurance salesman? You can't be objective.
To find the I-Man on Fox Business, go to foxbusiness.com/channelfinder.
At least three deaths nationwide blamed on bitter cold weather. In Cleveland, they're sick of shoveling snow.
I'm not looking forward to a foot every morning.
Snow also falling where it usually doesn't.
Sand trucks are standing by after they got a light dusting of snow. And of course, down in Florida, farmers are very worried trying to protect their crops because of a cold snap there, but they're confident that it won't last long enough to do significant damage.
Fox's Rick Leventhal, shelters staying open throughout the Southeast, saying they won't turn anyone away. Conviction upheld by a federal appeals court for 9/11 conspirator Zacharias Moussaoui. He had claimed he was denied potentially helpful evidence during trial and that his choices for counsel were restricted. A Jordanian doctor blamed for last week's deadly bombing on a base in Afghanistan.
The suicide bomber who killed eight people, including seven CIA employees, was a Jordanian agent, an intelligence source confirming to Fox News that he was supposed to help lead U.S. forces to Osama bin Laden's number two, al-Zawahiri, and wasn't searched on the CIA post because he was considered a reliable asset.
Fox Radio's Lisa Brady, not just the Salahis, a third crasher at the White House state dinner for India's prime minister, a businessman getting in with India's delegation. Dressed to Kill, one of the hottest young actors, also called fashion forward.
You're my only reason to stay alive, if that's what I am.
He plays a pasty white vampire in the Twilight Saga, but GQ thinks he's a great dresser. Robert Pattinson has been voted the best-dressed man in showbiz by the famous Men's Style magazine's British edition. The actor beat out the members of UK boy band Take That and Arctic Monkeys star Alex Turner, who came in third. British Prime Minister Gordon Brown was named the worst-dressed, with funny man Russell Brand and French leader Nicolas Sarkozy rounding out the top three fashion disasters.
Fox Radio, Sabrina Sassavai, U.S. markets ending higher, the Dow up 156. I'm Jane Metzler, Fox News Radio.
And we are back. Hopefully you guys all enjoyed that Fox News right there and the bitter cold. My God, when is it ever going to stop being so darn cold out there? Anyone's guess, but hey, you know what? Stay indoors.
August 1st.
That's right. Stay indoors. Listen to some Z-Talk Live. And don't worry about the cold out there. Just hang out with us. It'll be all good. And getting back to our guest, Patrick Burns. We're talking a lot about video tonight, a lot about the paranormal, touched on a little bit. You know, do you do, Patrick, and do you do other, what's your passion outside the paranormal?
Well, I'm a professional photographer. I do, I photograph in infrared frequencies of light exclusively. And if anyone wants to check out any of my work, it's available at patrick-burns.com. Or, I'm sorry, patrick-burns.net. .com is my professional site. .net is my photo gallery, and I've gotten accolades from professional photographers for a lot of my stuff out there. People seem to dig it, so yeah, I invite everybody to go and check it out. And outside of doing that, Marley and I are both very avid scuba divers. She just got her scuba certification this past August, and very, very proud of her for that. She's doing great at that, and we have a lot of fun. Every time we go on a trip someplace, we try to see if we can get a little diving in as well. So
cool, man. Cool. I mean, that's cool that you have more, you know, I mean, you got more going on for yourself. But here's the thing with your photography work, and we're going to cross back into the paranormal just for a minute. Having that background, you find that gives you a leg up when it comes to researching some of these photographs that, let's just say, come to you from other people. You can say, nah, that's something not paranormal.
Yeah. You know, I blogged about this on Facebook a couple weeks back. I've basically gotten very frustrated with people contacting me, asking for my quote-unquote expertise and interpretation of what I see in a photograph. And, you know, 19 out of 20 times when I disassemble their photograph and tell them, you don't have a ghost here, you have what's commonly referred to as a dust orb, I either don't get any acknowledgement mm-hmm. back from them, or if I do, it's usually one of hostility. Well, I can see why you think that, that's that. And I laugh to myself. I'm like, why did you ask me for my opinion of your photograph if yeah. you're just going to poo-poo my opinion? You know, mm-hmm. it sounds like you just wanted me to confirm that you had something paranormal there, and I can't do that. Nobody can do that. There is no such thing as, you know, certified paranormal. I wish there was. Mm-hmm. This would be a legitimate science if that were the case.
I get I get contacted in a different medium, of course. I get contacted a lot about radio. How does my show sound? I'll give it a listen. I'll say, well, this is where you suck. You know, this is, not that mean, obviously, but it's like, well, this work, you could really brush it up a little bit and, you know, tighter breaks, you know, hit your marks, do this, do that. And when you do tell them that, they get all mad. Well, you don't like my show. I didn't like your show. I said it needs help. You know, oh, you don't think I didn't say that. You know what I mean? They always get frustrated because they want there to be more right away. You know, they want right away. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
I got 19 years in radio, you know, and the thing of it is you don't learn this craft overnight. Just like in with yours of photography, it took you many years, I'm sure, to have that trained eye that you have. And then when they discount what you tell them, you know, kind of discouraging.
You know, the funny thing is, I actually come from a radio background as well. Very soon after high school, I enrolled at the Columbia School of Broadcasting, which I know you've heard of. Everybody in radio has. And, you know, the one thing I got to say about Columbia was they were very upfront with us. They said, okay, you want to be an air personality. That's great. You're in Chicago. Guess what? Your first job is not going to be in Chicago. Unless you have an uncle or a family member that owns a radio station and has promised you a job, you're probably going to start off doing farm reports in Des Moines.
Yep, exactly.
You know, and you're going to work your way. You're going to work your way back to Chicago because it's the number two radio market in the country. Well, back then it was. I think it's probably number three behind L.A. You got New York number one, L.A. number three, and Chicago. Or L.A.'s number two, and Chicago's number three. But they reasoned with us, and they didn't set our expectations unrealistically high, you know, because I know a lot of people, myself included, thought, hey, I'm going to walk in here, I'm going to get training, and then I'm going to get a job in radio. And they spelled it out. They said, this is a very, very competitive field, and there's a lot of people that want your job, and there's a lot of people that have a lot more experience than you, and, you know, you might think that you know what doesn't stink, but the truth of the matter is, you're not going to start working in Chicago. So if you can't leave the city, you need to leave right now, you know, and we'll refund your money. We're not going to beat around the bush here.
My training, I was about 16 years old and I got hired on. I never went to college for this or nothing. What had happened was I got a job as a DJ, you know, like everyone does, you know, the afternoon or nighttime DJ.
Sure.
And the guy comes in, the general manager.
In a smaller market,
though. Yeah, smaller market where I'm living now. In fact, I had to work my way back to where I'm living now, where I grew up. What had happened is I like in a smaller market, but what had happened is he came in there. He says, back then, we were still using CDs. They just switched over to CDs from this is back in 92. No, 91, 92, somewhere in there, because they just did the switch of CDs. Okay, and he says, okay, there's your CDs, there's your cart. Back then, they're still using the 8-track cart. I don't know if you remember that or not, where you plug in the commercials. And the guy says, okay, there's your CDs, there's your cart, there's the commercials, they're all labeled, there's your log, see you later, don't bother me, I'm going to the bar. That was my training. That was it. That was the training course right there for radio. And then later on, yeah. I end up moving to, just like you said, you move around. Like, I ended up in Wichita, Kansas. I ended up in Texas for a while. Ended up in a lot of different places in radio before I actually ended up coming yeah. back to where I grew up. Well, oddly enough, I had to work my way out of where I grew up just to come back. But then I came back and I did a morning
That's
show.
Not here. An uncommon story at all in radio.
Yeah, and then I did a morning show.
I got
a lot.
The funniest story I had in radio was
I'm sorry.
I said the funniest story I had in radio was when NXS came out. I called them Inks. Yep,
it's late.
Oh yeah.
Yep, Inks is up next.
I got a wake-up call
even before I went to school. I was at a concert in Chicago, and there was a radio station there doing a remote broadcast. And my buddy and I really didn't care for the band that was on stage at the time, so we're hanging out at the desk where the DJ is doing the remote broadcasting. He's like, yeah, I've been working in the field for 20 years. I started doing farm reports in Kalamazoo, Michigan, and just started here in Chicago, where I'm originally from, about 2 years ago. And I'm like, 18 years? He's like, yep, took me 18 years to work my way back into back to where I grew up. So,
yeah, yeah, I did talk radio. After about 10 years in radio, I ended up doing talk radio, which I'm doing now, for a pretty big market area. And it just... man, oh man, oh man. Talk radio, though, by far, is the hardest form of radio. By far. I mean,
oh
my God. You know, and I remember my first talk radio show. I was like, you know, I was broadcasting. I had to interview, I'll never forget it. We were interviewing, it was the guy, Geraldo Rivera came on. That's who it was, because we're talking about the vault. Remember the infamous vault?
Yes, the
yeah,
vault.
Yep, yep, yep.
Elk. One's
ball. Oh, yep, exactly. this is you know, probably 95, 96, some of that neighborhood. And my very first taste of talk radio got on there, and I'm like, this is Joel Sturgis, and we're going to be, later on in the hour, we're going to have Geraldo Rivera. I got to go to break, because I ran out of stuff to say. I'll never forget that. I just ran out of stuff to say. But yeah, definitely radio.
Yeah.
You know, it's crazy. It's tough. It's a tough business. Really tough business.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. When you're doing a talk show, because you got to do your prep work before the show. Everybody thinks you walk into the studio, you flip the mic, and you start talking. No, you've got to do your prep work if you're doing a talk show. You've got to research your guest. You've got to know, you know, what it is that. Is their claim to fame, and you've got to be able to formulate intelligent questions to ask these people. People just don't realize, and you guys know as well, because you're doing talk radio right now. You've got to have your research. You've got to do your prep work, and this is part of the reason I've been asked for years by people with different networks, webcasting networks, to do a talk show, and I'm like, no way. And they're like, why not? I'm like, because I don't have the time to discipline myself every week to sit down and do my prep work. I'm traveling around too much at this point. Maybe some point in the future, things will settle down for me and I'll be able to, you know, to do that. But right now, I'm not going to put something out there that's half-baked. Because I don't have the time to do my prep work and do a weekly show. I just can't do it at this point.
Yeah,
we get a lot of people doing that. We get a ton of people that come to us and want to do radio, and we say, hey, it's a lot more than just sitting behind a mic and talking.
Yeah, I do radio
totally.
I do talk radio 4 nights a week. I have one night off for prep work. That's Wednesday night, and that's it. Rest of it's on air every night.
Yeah.
Good friend of mine, Todd Bates, and I, we do radio rest of the week together. And yeah, it's just definitely a tough gig.
Oh, it is. It is. I think the John Q. Public, the average person out there, just doesn't realize how difficult it is. And Okay, I'm let's be perfectly honest. I mean, everybody and their mother right now is doing paranormal talk radio show.
Sure,
I mean,
3,000 of them on Blog Talk.
I'm blown away by the number of shows that are out there. And, of course, ever since Blog Talk Radio came about, anybody can. All you need is a phone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and, but that's not real radio.
You can host your own quote-unquote talk show.
Yeah,
but the thing is, so many of these shows are unfortunately, there's nothing unique about them. You know, they're rehashing the same thing. You know, it's like, what are you adding? What's your unique angle? You know,
right.
Whereas you guys have your whole network of shows that you're out there promoting. Now, there's a lot of people that they just want to be out there and they just want to be heard, and I can certainly respect that. But if you're just one voice in the crowd, you know, if the crowd is that huge, you got to stand out. You've got to stand out among the rest of the crowd. So what are you bringing to the table that's different? That's what you need to ask yourself. If you can't answer that question, if you can't say, well, I'm not really bringing anything, any sort of unique perspective to the table, then maybe you need to rethink doing a show. You know, it's like I've bowed out from doing a show because I don't have anything unique to bring at this point, and I certainly, you know, to do so would need to contribute a considerable amount of time to doing my prep work, and I've resisted it up to this point because of that.
Well, see, behind the scenes, though, we're lucky we have a whole staff of people working for us. You know, that uh-huh. take care of a lot of the stuff for us, so they make us look good, is what they do.
Yeah.
And that's what that's
more, there is more to it than that. Yep,
yep.
Absolutely, I
yep.
agree. You, if you're going to do a successful talk show, you can't do it as a one-man show.
That's right, we got
Howard Stern? No way.
Yep, we got
to do it as a one-person
whole staff of people behind us, and, you know, they work hard every day. But we got to hurry up the break because it is that time. We will be right back with more Patrick Burns right after this.
Station identification.
You're listening to ZTalk Radio Network.
Operating frequency
on ztalkradio.com.
Hi, this is Joel Sturgis, General Manager of ZTalk Radio. You may know me better from talk radio shows such as Airstrike Radio, Haunted Voices Radio, and ZTalk Live. I have a question for you. Have you ever listened to talk radio and said, hey, I can do a better job than those hosts? Or have you ever wanted to learn how to be an online broadcaster? Internet radio is quickly becoming the wave of the future for both amateurs and professional radio hosts alike. Now here's your chance to learn how to be a radio host. Todd Bates, owner of Haunted Voices Radio, and myself will teach you all that is necessary to pursue your radio dreams. Here is just a few things you'll learn at the world's first online broadcasting training course. The art of the interview. How to run your online broadcasting equipment. How to successfully book guests, and much, much more. So if you're interested in the world of online broadcasting, call 218-305-4676. That's right, 218-305-4676. Or email Joel at ztalkradio.com. And if you already have an online show, we offer interview coaching as well. Come start your online broadcasting career with us today.
Hi, I'm Paulette Carlson. Veterans Against Drugs is a united effort working with the Vietnam Veterans of America and local anti-drug programs, the clergy, law enforcement, and educators to find ways to reduce the effects of drugs and violence on our youth. Remember the word D-R-U-G-S. Don't ruin useful gifts stupidly. America is depending on its youth for the future and depending on you to support Veterans Against Drugs. Please contact us at VVA.org.
Did I kill my husband? As the only woman in Illinois to be hung for murder, local lore has tarred me as a bad, bad woman. But there's more to the story. Find out in The Hanging of Betsy Reed by Rick Kelsheimer. I was a healer. they called me a witch and said that I poisoned the old man. 20,000 people came to see me die. I did burn down the jail and didn't even stay buried for long. But did I kill him? Rick Kelsheimer tells my story as fairly as I have ever seen it. Read The Hanging of Betsy Reed. Available at Amazon.com.
We're the station that beats all the competition. And we'll prove it as soon as we hear any competition.
You're listening to Z-Talk Radio Network.
And we are back right here on Z Talk Live on the All Z Talk right. Radio channel.
Hey, I got a question for Patrick.
Yes, sir.
So what's this whole thing about someone used to calling you McFly?
Yes. This is a very, very old story from, let's see, about 23 years ago, 1987. If my memory serves me correctly, I landed a job, a summer job, after my senior year of high school working at Six Flags Great America in Gurnee, Illinois. And the ride that I was assigned to, the attraction rather, was called the American Eagle, which is the gigantic white racing wooden roller coaster in the park. It's been there for, almost 30 years now. Right. And it's definitely the first thing that you see, even when you're miles away from the park. So it was very prestigious to work on the Eagle. And while I was working there, I was a awkward, geeky, dorky kid just out of high school. Cool in contrast kid. To how I am now, which is, you know, of course, very hip and not at all geeky or awkward. Back in the 80s, the decade of excess, and, a lot of my coworkers were just kind of full of themselves and really didn't give me the time of day. There was this one lead, though, one supervisor who worked on the ride. His name was Scotty Rorick, and he was really cool. He treated me, with respect and hang out with me and laugh with me, and He used to do these impersonations of all these movie people. He'd do Rodney Dangerfield, and he assigned everybody on the ride a character from a movie. One of the girls on the ride was Annie Potts' character from Ghostbusters. He called me George McFly from Back to the Future.
Yeah, look where you
was probably
look,
appropriate back then.
It was
and. It was so funny because Scotty had a party for all the his coworkers up in Racine, Wisconsin, one night, and went there and we watched Ghostbusters, of course, because it was Scotty's favorite movie at the time. And
it still is, by the way. It still is.
Quoted every line from the movie. Yeah, and it was so funny. It was. I remember this. This was before I'd ever had a paranormal experience of my own. Scotty said, "Ghosts are real." At one point, after the movie was over, he said, "I've seen ghosts." He said, "They're not scary. They look just like real people. They're not transparent. They don't have a sheet. They look just like a real person. They're except that they're there and then they're gone." And that weighed very heavily on me. I was like, "Wow, I've never heard ghosts described in that way." And I must say, now that I'm older, I've had a number of experiences myself. I agree with everything he says, except for one thing, that ghosts are not scary. They are, too. They startle the shit out of me every time I see them. But it was so funny was I ended up getting let go from that job for another story in and of itself.
Yeah, exactly.
But the years went by. The years went by, and I think I'd even forgotten Scotty's name, but I always remember that guy that worked at Six Flags, who was the Ghostbusters fan, and who had the party, who
said the ghosts really exist and that he had seen them and that they looked just like solid people. And I, you know, just remembered his name or remembered his story, didn't necessarily remember his name for all these years. And about a year and a half ago, I was at the paranormal gathering, the Prism Expo in Michigan. And we had a meet and greet at a local sports bar, and Scotty introduced himself to me and shook his hand, and I made the rounds around the room and introduced myself to everyone else and sat down at the table, and he said, "So you're from Illinois, really?" I said, "Yeah, whereabouts?" Or he said, "Whereabouts?" I said, "Cary." I said, "It's northwest of Chicago." He said, "Oh, yeah, I know exactly where it is. I used to work at Six Flags." I said, "Really? I did, too." And then so on and so forth. I said, "Oh, yeah, Six Flags. I worked there, too. What years?" And he was like, "No, 85, 86, 87. I said, "Really?" I said, "What ride?" He said, "The American Eagle." And that's when...
Yeah, it hit both of us at once. It was kind of like a Blues Brothers moment where the light came down and from the sky it was like...
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah. Time to put the band back
together. I looked at him again and I was like, "Oh my God, your name, Scotty, you were the one that loved Ghostbusters." He was like, "Yeah." I'm like, "Holy crud, do you remember me? You used to call me McFly." And from there out, it was just completely just kismet at that point. Oh. It was just amazing.
It still is.
Go figure. You know, the Ghostbusters fan who first told me what a real ghost looked like, go figure that I should reconnect with him at a paranormal conference. So.
Yeah. Kind of meant to be.
Yes, absolutely. One of my... very, very favorite memories of my paranormal career, quote unquote, was reconnecting with Scotty, and we've promised each other that we'll never let each other get away again.
Yeah, that's true.
There you go. We won't,
and our families won't either. And it's just been wonderful to get back in touch and you know and relive some of those memories. We had so much fun. I mean, it was crazy time.
It's just an amazing story. It really is. And you know, the synchronicity of everything that you know, we should cross paths like that again. I just really remarkable.
Very, very true.
Cool. Cool. That story is great. You know, especially when you run into people you haven't seen in a lot of years. You know, I've had that happen a couple times myself. Just I never worked at an amusement park. Just like little radio stations, you run into people. "Oh yeah, you were the afternoon DJ. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, stuff like that.
Right.
you know, and then it's always fun when you could do that, reconnect a little bit, and then you know, and
especially if you like the guy.
Yeah, definitely. Well, that's the thing is, I was just telling Molly right now, tonight, you know, for every chance meeting that you have with somebody from your past, where your paths recross again. Now, Scotty and I, our example is profound. I mean, it's just really amazing any way you slice it. But you got to think, for every time you walk, you come across somebody in a public place, that, "Oh my gosh, yeah, I knew you from way back when." You know, it's like throwing darts at a dartboard. You got to figure, for every time your paths actually cross and you recognize one another, there's got to be 100 times where you just miss somebody by 30 seconds.
Right.
You know, or you're right there, you're standing right next to one another, but you don't necessarily recognize them or they don't recognize you.
You know what they say, though.
Quite honestly, Scotty, you know, if you hadn't mentioned where in Illinois are you from, and we got talking about Six Flags, we probably wouldn't have even made the connection.
Right.
You know, stuff like that has to go on all the time.
It was funny because I saw you on TV, you know what I mean? And I didn't put it together. I didn't put it together until we got in this bar in Michigan, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, it was like, I knew your television show, and the conference kept telling me, oh, Patrick Burns is going to be the thing. And I said, well, that's cool. He's on TV. You know, never even put it together until all of a sudden we put it together. And I was like, oh, wait a second.
Sly made it good.
Yeah, see, I'm like, see, that's why you got the name, though.
Yeah, I'm like the paradox ending in Back to the Future.
Exactly. That's basically what I was saying, dude. I said you really have come a long way, and you've done a lot, and I know you're doing a lot more.
I really am George McFly, man. I really took control of my destiny.
Yeah,
things did work out good for the little geek.
Which is great. I mean, that's what it's all about. That, you know, we try our things, we do our best. And, you know, and your friends and family, and, you know, that's what all makes it for everybody, you know.
But again, those, you know, are those stories. What you said that night at that party was a very profound thing for me. I mean, you know, I was this kid fresh out of high school, 18 years old, and here's this guy I've seen ghosts. And yeah, they look just like solid, real people. They, you know, they're just there 1 minute and gone the next. And that was very profound. That moment, Scotty. You got to realize this. That you may have, and you probably did, set this course in my life. Because 2 years prior to that, 3 years prior to that, I had a brother of mine that was killed in an automobile accident. And I was really searching for answers at that point. You know, I had kind of exhausted the going to church and being told that he's now with God. You know, what evidence is there out there that we exist past this lifetime? What evidence is out there that there is an afterlife and that we continue on? And you know, you may have very well pushed me unknowingly off in this direction of my life. So if that's the case, man, I thank you from the bottom of my heart for getting me interested in this. But it was definitely a contributor at the very least.
Right.
And just a very profound moment in my life.
All I can say is we're put together for reasons, Patrick, and that's why we're not going to let this one go by like we did last time.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean?
Totally.
So, yep. And you meet certain people in life for certain reasons, like Joel and myself, you know, you and me. There are certain people that are here for reasons in your life, and that's what makes this all worth it. And I'm so happy that you found Marley. She's such a wonderful lady, and you two are a good team. And it's really, you know, and me and my wife and Joel and his wife, you know, it's just the certain people and the relationships and the friendships. That's what it's all about. And people always get caught up in everything else, you know what I mean? And I think that is the most important, and that's one of the reasons why I'm in this field, you know.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. Well, we're looking for answers. Nobody really has answers.
No,
but it is, you know, the ironic thing about it is the paranormal, ghost hunting. It is, to me, it is more of a spiritual experience than I ever got out of church. And I'm not trying to insult anybody who is of a organized religious persuasion, but seeing is believing. You know, and experiencing is believing. And when you experience something and you're just like standing there with your mouth gaping open going, WTF, what just happened? It really does reaffirm your faith. At least it does for me. It was always a journey of faith for me. I was always, always a spiritual journey for me. You know, does a stiff really exist? Is the Bible just a load of hooey? Well, no, apparently not. Apparently there really is something else out there. At least that's my opinion. At least that's what I think. I can't prove it, but I've had a number of, you know, anecdotal experiences that I just I can't explain, and I try to explain them. I can't do it.
True. Good point.
It's very profound.
One of those things that makes people wonder and question, and no one's ever really going to know the true answer about the afterlife until we're actually there.
Yeah.
So we're hoping we can figure it out.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Well, yeah.
Yeah. You know, it's like running around a cave with a Bic lighter. Sure, you see a little bit, but not the whole picture.
True.
Yeah.
You know, I don't think we're meant to. I don't think we're meant to know everything. You know, about it.
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. That's been my stance as well. People are like, well, why can't, if ghosts were real, there should be some sort of effect that is scientifically repeatable. And I agree with them. I on one point, I think, you know, it is curious that these things go on, mm-hmm. but it lacks the repeatability factor. And if it does repeat, it repeats in a slightly different way or sure. a profoundly different way.
Sure.
Instead of getting an EVP, we get an abrupt temperature fluctuation, or you know, there's poltergeist activity. Something moves. So it's like, you're looking in one area, you're concentrating on the EVP, and then the door slams. So you set up video cameras, and then the temperature, you know? So it's like you're constantly playing this shell game. It's like, okay, where is the activity going to manifest itself this time? I think, and I am a spiritual person. I will say that I really mm-hmm. am not a fan of organized religion. Not because I don't believe in God. I do believe in a higher being.
Sure.
But my problem with organized religion is that all too often it is hijacked to push political agendas, which I think is absolute hogwash. It's not the way that it should be. I do believe in a higher power. I do believe in something, mm-hmm. something that created life. And I agree. I think we are allowed to get little peaks here and there.
Yep. I totally agree. But you know, we're coming up on the last.
We are not allowed to make absolute contact with them, because then there would be no reason for faith.
Yep, absolutely.
There would be no reason to question one's activities and the possibility that they might be judged at some point.
Mm-hmm. Very true.
I think that we are given just enough of a dose there that people say, whoa, there really is something else here. There really is something beyond this. Mm-hmm. But that's it. That's all we are allowed, is just a little glimpse, just to keep us from becoming too completely cynical.
Absolutely, but we are running late for break, so we got to get out of here. I want to thank Patrick Burns for coming on the show. Patrick, thanks a ton. It has been awesome, man.
Oh, it's been a lot of fun, guys.
The competition has taken notice.
Oh, my God.
Good luck keeping up with us.
You're listening to Z-Talk Radio Network.
Did I kill my husband? As the only woman in Illinois to be hung for murder, local lore has tarred me as a bad, bad woman. But there's more to the story. Find out in The Hanging of Betsy Reed by Rick Kelsheimer. I was a healer. They called me a witch and said that I poisoned the old man. 20,000 people came to see me die. I did burn down the jail and didn't even stay buried for long. But did I kill him? Rick Kelsheimer tells my story as fairly as I have ever seen it. Read The Hanging of Betsy Reed. Available at Amazon.com.
I'm Peyton Manning. Did you know that the Red Cross responds to more than 67,000 house and apartment fires every year? They show us how to prepare for emergencies from hurricanes to heart attacks. They respond immediately when lives are disrupted by natural disasters. They teach us to swim and to save lives. Red Cross volunteers and employees are committed to making our communities safer and healthier.
Call 1-800-HELP-NOW or visit redcross.org to learn more.
Hi, this is Joel Sturgis, General Manager of Z-Talk Radio. You may know me better from talk radio shows such as Airstrike Radio, Haunted Voices Radio, and Z-Talk Live. I have a question for you. Have you ever listened to talk radio and said, hey, I can do a better job than those hosts? Or have you ever wanted to learn how to be an online broadcaster? Internet radio is quickly becoming the wave of the future for both amateurs and professional radio hosts alike. Now here's your chance to learn how to be a radio host. Todd Bates, owner of Haunted Voices Radio, and myself will teach you all that is necessary to pursue your radio dreams. Here is just a few things you'll learn at the world's first online broadcasting training course. The art of the interview. How to run your online broadcasting equipment. How to successfully book guests, and much, much more. So if you're interested in the world of online broadcasting, call 218-305-4676. That's right, 218-305-4676. Or email Joel at ztalkradio.com. And if you already have an online show, we offer interview coaching as well. Come start your online broadcasting career with us today.
You're listening to Z-Talk Radio Network.
I am living on Channel Z.
Let me tell you something. I'm going to float like a butterfly and sing like a bee. George can't hit what his hands can't see.
This is going to be a touchdown. I mean, look at that throw.
That's right. I have wrestled with an alligator. I done tussled with a whale. I done handcuffed lightning, throw thunder in jail.
And he shoots. He's gone.
And here we are for another week of Z-Talk Sports, and it happens to be the very final week of the regular season of the NFL. So, unfortunately, football's done in a few weeks.
I know, that's going to be sad, because I hate basketball.
Yeah,
I like basketball. College ball. College ball is just stirring up, so I don't mind college ball. I think that'll be fun.
Yeah.
But we know who's in the playoffs, and we know who's won the most of the bowls, so...
Yeah, well, yeah.
Boise State won tonight, beat TCU, can you believe it? 17-10.
Oh, wow.
I was just trying to count how many bowls there were here. There's like
100.
3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24, 25, 26, 27, 30 bowls. Holy cow. Way too many.
There you go. 30 yeah, like, bowls. Yeah.
Like, for example, Minnesota gets in to the Insight Bowl versus Iowa State, and then they lose. Mm-hmm. And then, I mean, some of these Armed Forces Bowl, never heard of it. You know, Chick-fil-A Bowl. It's been around for a while, I think.
And they're really, all sponsored by some big corporation. It just can't be like, we're gonna play football.
Humanitarian Bowl and Eagle Bank Bowl and Champ Sports Bowl. By the way, Wisconsin won 20-14 over Miami. See how I'm putting those in? Doing it in. But in the NFL for the week. So, hey, the Vikings did show off this week. I got to tell you, they did do pretty decent.
I didn't watch the game.
You didn't watch the game?
No, I couldn't. I was at my in-laws. Because the Christmas was so bad up here, we went and did Christmas this weekend.
They won't let you watch the game at your in-laws?
Nope. No game. Dude, no game. You know, it was all right, though. It was all right.
Brett Favre, by far, was on fire again.
Well, yeah, they got one good game on the clunker. That's right. You know, let's see how well he does in the playoffs. That's what I want to see.
Yep. So the first game of the playoffs will start in the NFC because that means more to me anyway. We have the rematch of last week's games.
Yeah.
Philadelphia, Dallas, and Green Bay and Arizona. So, I mean.
Well, you have. Well, first off, in the NFC, there's some good teams, no doubt. The Saints looking good, as always. You got the Eagles that actually are playing pretty good ball. You know, so there's actually some pretty good contenders on the NFC side right now.
Right. We'll see. I mean, Green Bay is one, he's only lost one game on the last eight. So They started the season out 4-4, looked awful, and look where they come now. So, I mean, they only lost that one to Pittsburgh with that last second touchdown. So they could have been eight out, you know, eight out of the last eight. So
yeah, I think Minnesota's a bye next week, don't they?
Yep, sure did. They really, really stepped up. But Philadelphia is the one that kind of lost it for themselves, ended up in the wild card by losing. So
yeah.
But that's where they ended up with Dallas, because otherwise they would have had the bye. So
yeah,
that was pretty bad, Philly. I mean, you know, there was two blowouts though. There was two major blowouts last week: Dallas and Green Bay. I mean, I know Arizona put half their team down. You know, so that's the biggest thing. I know I was watching ESPN today. And they're talking about that, where they're talking about, why would you sit your people down, you know, which is half the team sat people down, like Indianapolis. They didn't play for the last 2 weeks because they've been waiting for the Super Bowl. You know, they've been waiting for the playoffs, you know, so what is the right way? And they said, well, we'll have to see. And I agree with that. I don't know which is the right way, by sitting them down, because Green Bay didn't sit down,
you know,
until the third quarter.
You have teams like the Bengals. That obviously, the Bengals that beat the Jets, or that lost the Jets, rather, on purpose. They lost that game. The Bengals threw that game. Just so obvious, dude.
You think so, man?
Oh, that's what everyone's saying all week. It was pretty evident in the plays that I saw. Yeah, they threw that damn thing.
I didn't watch the game, so.
You know, it was like, well, you know what? If we lose this game, we get an easier opponent in the playoffs.
Well, Cincinnati ended up with New York, the Jets, so.
Yeah. And
but I don't know. I mean, I don't know what's going to be. We'll have to wait and see what it is. You know, if you come in on a roll, are you going to be better? Or if you... You're coming off of two losses, where is your mindset after that? Well, we're so great that we don't mind two losses like Indianapolis did. You know, I mean, even New Orleans, I mean, has lost a few in this last, you know, so it's like.
See, the worst time is the end of the season. It really is. When there's really it's so clear cut, especially this season. It was so clear cut, there wasn't a ton to play for. There was very few games where it mattered.
Well, this last week there was. There's a bunch this last week. There's a lot of games. There's a lot of teams, especially in the AFC. NFC, not so much. I mean, it was pretty much set through last week. But the AFC, I mean, Pittsburgh was still playing. You know, there's a lot of teams. Miami was still playing for a spot. I mean, there was a lot of games up for grabs yet this last week of the season, especially in the AFC. NFC, not so much.
No,
because you look at the teams. You look at the teams that we have in the NFC. None of them have major losing seasons. I mean, I'm not saying 9-7 is losing, but to me, 9-7 ain't that great of a year. You know, that's
not really
old season. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's
Most of the people in the NFC had 10 wins or more. You know, so I mean, they're all pretty decent. You know, they're all decent teams. You know,
unless
we'll see what it.
Where'd the Lions end up, by the way, for the year?
I think they won two.
Two. Well, it's better than that a couple years back when they actually had the perfect season the other way back.
The Lions. I feel so sorry for them.
I don't feel sorry for them at all. In fact, I think they should dissolve that team.
Yeah. They got a great-looking stadium, though.
Well, they do for a crappy team. That's like a great set of you-know-whats and an ugly woman. Sure, they're awesome, but no one wants to touch it.
Yep.
You know what I mean? It's like, oh, yeah, we got a great stadium. But our team sucks. So they can't even sell out this great stadium. There's like one guy there, and he works
for
them.
So we'll see how it plays. We'll see how it plays out this, you know, this week, this weekend, you know. I mean, the game's running.
I know, but you know what? I'm kind of banging a little bit on the Lions, and I really have to stop that. Because every time I watch them, this is exactly what goes through my head because they're so bad. Right there. I should have played it further, but I didn't want to because it's just too disturbing. You know, that whole doon 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 doon.
Yep. You sang it anyway, so.
I did. But no, I mean, you got teams out there that, you know, every year they're almost guaranteed to lose kind of thing going on.
Yeah, that's tough. I mean, you know, unfortunately, the Bears have been in it lately. The Bears haven't had a good season in a long time.
True.
And then they had a real bad quarterback again this year.
Oh my God. what I thought was funny is that Cutler was actually, or Orton was actually playing better ball than the guy they traded for.
See, here's what's funny, because I will say this here. Orton is the passing leader of the week by the numbers.
Yeah, yeah.
He did this every week. He did 431 yards passing this week. You know, it's like, oh, dude, what happened? No, it's just the fact your team is bad.
Well, the Chicago and the Detroit Lions made it into the Super Bowl or in the playoffs, this is why I won't be yelling. Cripple Fight! Because they both are that bad.
Yeah, so. Like, and then Jamal Charles was rushing with 259 yards. And then Jabari Gaffney was the receiving for 213 yards receiving.
Wow.
That's pretty dang good. And Justin Smith for San Francisco got 3.5 sacks. So That's the week by the numbers, man. Those are some big numbers out there this week. So
they ain't too bad. They ain't too bad.
Now we'll see what happens. So the wild card playoffs for this week are Saturday's game is 8 o'clock Eastern on NBC is Philadelphia and Dallas. That's going to be a big game. Sunday at 4:40 Eastern on Fox is the Packers and Arizona again. And then you got 4:30 on Saturday, the New York and Cincy game. And Sunday at 1 o'clock, you have the Baltimore-New England game. So that's how the games are going to play this first week. And,
hopefully the Pack can pull it out.
Yeah, I mean, they really dominated Arizona this week, so we'll see what happens. Well, and they got out quick. So But they say Arizona was playing vanilla. Well, Arizona plays vanilla a lot, so let's not give them too much credit. So we'll see what happens.
Yeah, well, and if they win, they move on. You know, you never know. You never know at this point who's going to make it to the big show. I still am going to hold strong in my picks, make it the big show, and that's going to be New Orleans and Indy. That's who I think are going to make it. I just have this gut feeling because they're both playing too good.
The game that I can't predict, I'm going to take Green Bay over Arizona. I'm actually going to take Dallas again. I'm going to take Dallas over Philadelphia. I'm going to take New England over Baltimore, and I'm going to take Cincinnati over New York. That's what my picks are for the week.
That's some pretty good picks there.
I
think the Cardinals, they were in the Super Bowl like last year or the year before, weren't they? Yeah, last year. They made it in there.
No.
Was it year before?
No, last year. Year before.
The year before. So they can do it. They've proven that they can play ball when they need to play ball. So you never know. You never know what team is all of a sudden gonna say, okay, it's the playoffs, we're in, we gotta do it. It'll be interesting.
Yeah, it's gonna be Dallas and Minnesota the following week and Green Bay.
Boy, Dallas Minnesota game, that's gonna be a tough one right there. It all depends on what Favre you get. If you get the broken down old man time farm, Favre, you're screwed. But if you get the cannon arm laser accurate, ready to play far if you're, yeah, Romo, all right.
You know, I don't know. So that's going to be a tough game. That's going to be good. That's how I'm predicting them to go down, though.
Yeah, it's hard to tell. I don't know. See now, like Minnesota and a few other teams, they run so hot and cold, you just never know how they're going to play. Right. Yeah, you can't, like Peyton Manning. Every time Peyton Manning plays, you know what you're going to get from Peyton Manning. Right. There's very few times where he actually has a bad game.
Right. And I can't say anything about Aaron Rodgers yet. I mean, he's had a great season, but we haven't had the track record with him only 2 years.
Well, look at Tony.
He's had a very good year.
Tony Romo was the golden boy for a long time until one old crap in the playoffs. Right. Yeah, I mean, it only takes that one old crap to wipe away a million data boys. You know, a lot of people's minds. So it'll be interesting.
Because Green Bay did beat Dallas this year. So, they did.
Where would they be facing them at? In Dallas or in Green Bay?
Oh, Green Bay doesn't have home field at all.
Okay, so they have to travel. Ooh, that's a tough road in the playoffs.
Yeah, but I think they're going to. I think it wouldn't be Dallas and Green Bay. It would be either Dallas and Minnesota or Dallas or Green Bay and Minnesota.
Yeah,
and the other team in New Orleans.
Oh boy, so. Green Bay and Minnesota—that'd be a great playoff game.
That would be a great playoff game, wouldn't it?
Yeah, I think they'd have to come to the Dome. That'd be a great one.
Yep, they would be.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of the records in my head quick.
Yeah, because the Vikings beat them both times in the season, so they would definitely go to the Dome.
Yeah, definitely. But, man, it's already time to put this one to bed. I want to thank our guest, Patrick Burns, for coming aboard, talking all the great stuff that he talked tonight. It was really a fun show. Had a great time. And we will see you guys next week.
Bye-bye, so, and then, go Pack.
Yeah, be good. Go Pack. Definitely. Go Packers. You know, that way the Vikings kick your ass later.
Exactly.
This has been a production of the Z Talk Radio Network.